Last week, we read about the law of transition. One of the laws of transition from man's crooked mind, if one may say so, or the crookedness of his mind, to the simplicity and spontaneity of a divine nature. So we read something from the Arya on Taoism, and of course, also something similar which is there in the Gita. The language is different. But this spontaneity liberates the inner consciousness, does not transform nature. This is a crucial point that Sri Aurobindo brings, that instead of action becoming a bondage, if we live with this inner truth, then action becomes liberating in nature and our inner consciousness becomes free. But what does not happen? Our outer nature does not get transformed. Our habits, our outer ways of thinking, feeling, reacting, they may become less and less, but still they remain. And whatever work we undertake, inwardly we are free, but we continue to do what Sri Aurobindo has called in synthesis, an inner illumined consciousness doing outwardly a twilight work. So even though inwardly we are fine, in a beautiful state of peace, inner joy, trust, loving surrender, but the work we are doing has the same stamp of ignorance. So everything has to change. This is how the new world is going to come. It's not enough that inwardly we feel, experience something very beautiful. This is one of the things that Sri Aurobindo and the mother have repeatedly revealed to us. And the scope is endless. We were reading the other day about the animal life. Mother and Sri Aurobindo have included everything in the scope of their vast yoga. Not just the life of humanity, but the life of animals, the life of the gods, the life of plants, the life of titans, the life of matter, the life of the whole cosmos. So there is no limit to what extent this yoga can spread, starting from an individual and his inmost being. World is the limit, or perhaps not yet. So in that process, since we shared something about animals and how they have consciousness, how they are so much in their responses like human beings, though we look down upon them, probably after that video I'm sure it will be not a derogatory term if somebody says you are like an animal. It would be, oh, thank you. Not bad. Don't call me human being. So though I was thinking of, you know, developing the law of transition, but I felt the plants were not happy. That please say something about us also. Mother and Sri Aurobindo have revealed the whole world, the secret consciousness in plants. And as I was going through the pages of Arya again, 100 years back, there was a column which Sri Aurobindo used to take out. See, Sri Aurobindo, when we write about Sri Aurobindo, we write philosopher, poet, revolutionary, mystic, yogi. That's all. But Sri Aurobindo is many, many things. He is a healer. He is also the advocate who does vakalat from our side to the divine, pleads our case. Every profession, he is the physicist who reveals how matter is formed and how it can change. He is the biologist, botanist, artist, and he is the scientist. At one place in Agenda, mother says, Sri Aurobindo came to me and he was showing some experiments in the test tube. Certain chemicals were being mixed, some changes were taking place, and he was explaining to me how the new matter will be formed. And she says this in context of the solar flare. And then the mother says, I did not understand all that. It is meant for somebody else to do that work. It's a very, you know, apparently a mundane work. She is doing something much more profound and central. But she says, he revealed to me that this is also a work which is going on all over the world. In many ways, the supramental world is coming into existence, and we have to just open our eyes and see. So there is another aspect of Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo, the journalist. And I wish someday Anandji will surely bring out Sri Aurobindo, the journalist. Nobody talks of him as journalist. And we have so many media people taking out. The mother was very keen. I think she started Auro Films and she gave a message. In service of the true and the beautiful. This was the message she gave. So she wanted all this. In fact, the place in the lake part was meant for that. That one day there will be a media company which will show things which are true and beautiful. And of course, good. So Sri Aurobindo has shown the way. As a journalist, he would write columns and he would report news. Now, many times, you know, nowadays, you know, when you watch the TV last 1 month, it seems India is free of murders, free of everything, because there is no other news except politicians. So the only logical conclusion is everything is wonderful in the country. And sometimes very important news, they don't catch the limelight. Like recently I saw one very interesting news. The Supreme Court has passed judgment. Now what is the judgment? We are all reading Supreme Court judgments which are coming here and there. But there is a judgment Supreme Court has passed. Now it is very beautiful given the context of the animal kingdom that we saw. It has passed a judgment that animals have the same right to live with honor and dignity. This is very interesting. I think Switzerland passed such a law long, long back. Animals have the same right. So you just can't treat them like, you know, shoo away dog. Since Supreme Court has said this, tomorrow somebody can take us to the court. Animals won't, because they are decent people. But some activist will surely take us to court if we see mistreating an animal, shooing away. It's a landmark judgment. It's a really recent thing. There was another interesting news that a cow has been fitted with artificial limb because her leg was amputated and an artificial limb has been fitted. The limb was made in Nagpur and the cow is walking. It was a lovely picture. And of course, such things are coming up. They are very interesting that how a new world is taking shape. There is a recognition about animal life. And I wish one day we will also recognize about plant life. So in news of the month, Sri Aurobindo mentioned something about the soul of a plant. This again from the Arya. And it's a very, very long passage. So I'll come to the main things. And Sri Aurobindo quotes from the newspaper reporting of that time. And then he gives his comments. Now the news item is about Sir J.C. Bose's experiment. Now Sir J.C. Bose, we know Jagdish Chandra Bose, his experiments have been not only appreciated by Sri Aurobindo, of course, that's the master word, by Swami Vivekananda, by Paramahansa Yogananda, who mentions almost quite a few pages of one of his chapter in his famous autobiography of a yogi. Tagore wrote a poem on him, comparing him to a hermit who is taking out the word of Sama, Samved, rise and awake. So, you know, he was not an ordinary scientist. In one of his passages in the Arya, Sri Aurobindo, when he was asked, what is the most important synthesis needed at this moment? We talk about unity. And we know how when World Union was formed by three persons, they ended up fighting with each other. And the mother had to say, first, stop quarreling and find unity within yourself. So, when Sri Aurobindo was asked, what is the most important synthesis? He said, undoubtedly that of man himself. And then he diagnosed the disease. What is the disease of today's century? He says, malady of man today is that there is a divorce between reason and faith, between the scientific temperament and the religious spirit. So if I am religious, I'll become unscientific, illogical, everything. And if I am scientific and logical, I must be irreligious, I must not believe in anything higher, truer, deeper. If I am living in the intellect, my energies of the heart get deprived. As we have been seeing, the lack of love in today's civilization is leading to criminals. Criminals are not because of anything else. Why crime rates have increased? Why in cities? At one place, in one of his early writings, Sri Aurobindo says, what is the poverty? All the ministers are talking about poverty eradication, poverty eradication. Sri Aurobindo says, there is a much greater poverty than the poverty of money, which is afflicting the villages. Then, in 1900, 8, 9 he is diagnosing. He says our villages are no more having that love. That is missing. There is a moral bankruptcy. So outer poverty is a result of that, because there is greed on one side, there is inertia on the other side. All these are outer symptoms, but the real disease is lack of love, because our education tends to deprive us of this heart. So he says we have to unite these, and in every field, including the field of science. So I have my own little term for it very often, because to communicate with the outer world, that there is a Vedantic science and there is a science of Hiranyakashipu. Science of Hiranyakashipu is divides. So it reduces everything to something cold. Human feelings are nothing but material reactions in the brain. It makes people cold, harsh. The other sciences which makes everything living, conscious. And Sir J.C. Bose belongs to that genre of scientists who are straight in the lines of Vedanta. So what was his discovery, and how did the newspapers of that time report it, 100 years back? In these days, it seems to be impossible to live for more than a few weeks at a time without receiving some more or less serious mental shock. So these people, because of the discoveries, they were receiving mental shock. Soon after you have recovered from seeing an aeroplane weighing half a ton leave the ground. So what they must have felt when they saw aeroplane suddenly, you know, in those days, first flights, they would be wondering, half a ton weight and it is flying in the air. How is it possible? So he says, soon after you have recovered, you are called to make a mental adjustment which will reconcile you to traveling in a train hanging in mid-air. And another day or two, you may find yourself face to face with the adventure of speaking to someone 50 miles away without the aid even of a wire. Now you see how there has been a kind of deliberate attempt to bring down all that India discovered. Most people, when they are taught even now in school of physics, who discovered the radio waves? Marconi. But there is very clear evidence that it was Sir J.C. Bose. Actually, he was a physicist, he was not a botanist. He had discovered the radio waves. And much later, Marconi discovered it. And when Sir J.C. Bose was asked to patent it, he said, no, I don't believe in patenting. Ideas don't belong to anybody. How beautiful. And so he never actually went about making a big deal about it. And much later, Marconi discovered it. I think after a span of 5-7 years. But it's known by Marconi's name. Though scientists know that it was Sir J.C. Bose, and the wireless telegraphy, which now, of course, has become history because the last telegram. But he is the one who revolutionized. He opened the doors to ultimately a kind of communication without wires. So it was a landmark thing. It is getting a little difficult to keep up with science. And then they say, just now, Professor J.C. Bose, a Hindu scientist who has been sent by the government of India to lay the results of his discoveries before the Western scientific world in giving people shocks. Now this, incidentally, the date was 10th May, of course, 1901, when Sir J.C. Bose, before a huge crowd of scientists who applauded him, when he demonstrated what he proved in London before the Royal Society of Physicists. If you watch his astonishing experiments with plants and flowers, you have to leave an old world behind and enter a new one. Mother wrote in her prayers that when we say gods are coming on earth, gods are coming on earth, she says, what are these manifold, brilliant intellectual activities but for the manifestation of the gods? So it was the gods who were preparing the world. How they were coming? In the disguise of a scientist, in the disguise of an artist, in the disguise of a mathematician. So that is how they were pouring upon earth, in the disguise of even a battle in the First and Second World War. So this is how they were coming. So already they could sense the new world. The world where plants are merely, not merely plants, become mercilessly out of date. The world where plants are merely plants become mercilessly out of date. And you are forced abruptly into a world where plants are almost human beings. So what did he prove? He devised an instrument called the crescograph. And it's a very minute instrument. It could record 1,000th of a second. This was the degree of precision. Imagine. And he has demonstrated before the hardcore scientific world. So he went and the experiments are many. If I start, it will take a whole thing. But for instance, he showed if a plant is abruptly killed, it suddenly shrivels. It experiences a lot of pain. He showed it that if you pour boiling water, this is what will happen. He showed that if you cut a leaf, what are the reactions? He demonstrated that plants sleep. Morning when we are awake, by 6 o'clock, the plants are going off to sleep. Then they get up after a while. Then again, late afternoon, they start feeling dull, heavy, sleepy, and they go off to sleep. By morning, they are asleep. Now, this is very interesting. What else did he show? That when somebody dies in their community, they moan. Mother spoke about it. Mother said when the eucalyptus grove was there and all the trees fell to the storm, one tree was standing. So this tree grows to the mother and says, I don't feel happy. My friends have gone. I too want to go. We think we are very people with lot of friendship and all. Look at that friend. None of us will ever give our life because friends have gone. We will say, okay. How much ever we may say. But here is that eucalyptus tree who comes to the mother says, I want to go. I want to be relieved of your service or whatever. And mother says, okay. And after a few days, he was gone. Look at our own service tree. We may attribute it to biological reasons, but the service tree sends something. Another experiment which J.C. Bose had not done, but after 70 years, in 1960s and 70s, another scientist, Clive Baxter, he demonstrated that plants respond not only to the action, but to the thought and the intent. So how did he, the same instrument he used, and what he did, he thought that I must water the plants. And suddenly the plant responded with life. Ah, I am going to have water. Then he thought, okay, let me, actually he didn't understand. He thought that maybe I thought and then I watered, therefore it has responded. So while the instrument was recording things, he thought, okay, let me see the opposite. What if I ignite it with fire? Now, he had not even actually done the act and the plant responded as if a real fire has come. Now, when mother spoke that the banyan tree came to mother and said, mother, they are thinking of cutting me. We think it is just a, you know, not we. We of course believe, but there are people who think, oh, these are fairy tales. This is not science. This is hard science. That plants respond to our thoughts. Immediately it shrank. Then he discovered another interesting thing. It is not only in near proximity. They respond 10,000 miles away. So he did another experiment. Such experiments are taking place in other domains also, which maybe some other time I'll talk. So they saw that, okay, they projected the picture of a plant. Let's say there is a plant in Pondicherry and they projected the picture. And instead of a real insecticide, they simply projected on the picture wave forms of the insecticide. And they found that the plant which was 10,000 miles away responded. These are hard experiments. Now when this discovery came, all the chemical world of the pesticide, they wanted to absolutely crush this discovery because it means the whole world, business world will collapse. They respond to thoughts. How did the mother say the fir trees coming to her and they bring snow? When they come, they bring snow. She has spoken of all these things, that how they respond. They give energy. Madam Theon, she would keep an apple or a flower and she would not need food. Just the flower will shrivel up, give energy and she would wake up energetic. So here again, he did another experiment and he found that if you treat the plants with care, they give you their energy. So they try in their own little way to heal us, saying thank you. We human beings may be ungrateful. We will always have a complaint, even if somebody has done something good. Something will be missing always. But these plants respond immediately with gratitude. See, divine looks after everything, from most material to the highest spiritual. But always human beings will find one little thing to complain and grumble. But look at the plant, he gives healing energies. And equally, when we mistreat them, then they shrivel up. All these are hard signs. And who started it? Outwardly, Sir J.C. Bose. And of course, Mother and Sri Aurobindo, obviously behind all this. So far, now this is Sri Aurobindo's comments. So far, the phenomena noted are those of vital activities associated with the physical states we call life and death. But then there come others which are usually associated with mental consciousness, so that the writer of the article is induced to use such phrase as the feelings of plants, the perception part of the plant, the plant's power of perception. So more and more he discovers, and then Sri Aurobindo quotes, some idea of the delicacy of the instruments may be gained from the fact that they can record a time interval as short as the 1,000th part of the duration of a heartbeat. The professor has invented, and the records reveal the hidden feelings of the plant. So they feel. They don't just perceive and sense. They love. They feel, may not be anger, but something similar to that. They feel depressed. Even that has been found. So one can imagine when we take a medicine, and I was just thinking, this is now my fantasy or my own revelation, that when we take a medicine, in ancient times, Ayurveda, how it was prepared. I read a nice little story when Hanuman brings Sanjeevani to give to Lakshman. So Lakshman is Angad and all these people are waiting, Sugriva are waiting. Oh, why Hanuman has not yet come? It is going to be daytime. They are monitoring by their watches and they are all anxious. Suddenly Hanuman lands with Sanjeevani. So Sugriv jumps and wants to take it and give it to Lakshman before it is daybreak. So the Vaid, Sushen, he tells him, no, don't do it like this. All this labor will go wasted. Why? The plant has come? No. Its healing properties are asleep. You have to wake it. So he does certain mantra charan, prayers, etc. And then the herb's healing properties come alive. And then he gives it to Lakshman. So, I have a mind of putting it in the dispensary somewhere, that if medicines are not helping, please pray and take them. Because Krishna says, I am also in the Aushadhi. So, when we take it, because everything, Sir J.C. Bose went one step further. He proved that not only plants have life, but even metals, they experience fatigue. Plants experience fatigue, then they rest and recover. Metals experience fatigue. It's a now known term in modern physics that metals undergo fatigue. They react in strange ways. Long back, Sri Aurobindo in his evening talk says, if I say that watches have life, now you will laugh at me. You will find it strange. And look, when Sri Aurobindo withdrew from the earth scene, the watch stopped. The watch is stopped at that time. And how once something very interesting, that one day Sri Aurobindo wants to see the time, and in one of his room, the watch stops. So he goes to another room and suddenly that watch also stops. So he goes to the third one and that watch also stops. As if they are playing with the Lord. Not only we play, even world of inanimate matter plays. And Sri Aurobindo said, oh, that is impossible. And they all started ticking again. They are living. We don't know it. It's our ignorance, but they are living. And we don't relate to them. At one place, Mother says, much faster than human beings, the animals, plants, and even material life will respond. And then she gives an example. You cannot imagine what kind of work they have done, and as a scientist. She says, you know, the other day I was doing ordinary activities like opening the tap and brushing the teeth. Suddenly, the tap, the water, the toothpaste, the brush, everything became alive. They were experiencing a joy and transmitting that joy. So they were suddenly happy. Mother, you are using me. Mother, you are using me. And that's how I look at it, that they must be so happy that mother is using. What a destiny of the toothbrush. How we wish we were that toothbrush. You know, like Champak Lalji, when he wanted to give chicken soup of the mother to the mother, and mother said, no, I don't want this chicken soup. So he said, mother, if I was the chicken, I would have loved to be that chicken to to be sacrificed. So how matter is living, all this he proved by hardcore science. And Shobindu is appreciating it. Now again, now he quotes from the newspaper report. There was something almost humiliating in this sensitiveness of a mere plant, in the very same, to the very same agents to which men and women respond. No one would object to a plant being refreshed by water, but what right has it to enjoy, as it were, a cup of tea? He says that it's humiliating. We say we are human beings. We have this speciality, that speciality. We think, we can feel. Plant is doing everything the same. When Professor Bose gave the plant a dose of alcohol, its response through the recorder was ludicrously unsteady. It became unsteady. One had the humiliation of watching a drunken plant. Too much food makes it lethargic and incapable of reply. But the removal of the excess removes the lethargy. We know it. I mean, it's hard to believe. I remember when somebody told me, no, don't put so much water into these flowers. I said, why? They need flour, they need water. So I thought, if you put a lot of water, it's fine. It is not going to do any harm. But no, every plant needs a certain amount of water. If you put too much, it is not good. It makes it lethargic. If you put too less, it makes it thirsty. Just like human beings. So there is such a similarity. When excessively tired or bored, it loses for the time all power of perception and requires a rest cure of at least half an hour to restore its equanimity. So, and of course we know that plants respond to music, they respond to thoughts, suggestions. Now it has been proved that if you put music, and when the experimenters are asked what kind of music they like, they have a much better taste than human beings. They like classical music. We may like, you know, rock and roll. But plants like classical music, though human beings say, oh, this is so boring. 2 hours, the same two continues, you know. But plants love it. So they know what is healthy. So this is the beauty of the plant life. Then, of course, Sri Aurobindo puts his own beautiful comment. Finally, following out the inevitable suggestion of all these remarkable phenomena, the writer proceeds to draw the moral, the lesson which nature is always lying in wait to give, to the self-confined egoism of man. What is that self-confined egoism? Because we don't know about life in other things, we think we are superior. At one place, Shobindu says this. What makes you believe that you are superior? He tells this. What makes you believe? In many ways, animals are superior. It is only in one and only one thing that man can consciously do yoga. But the mother says, but that also I have seen cats and dogs do yoga. So, where lies the superiority? And then he quotes again, the superiority of a man must, in fact, be established on a foundation more secure than sensibility. This is what the writer concludes. Thus, as Professor Bose says, community throughout the great ocean of life, continuity throughout the great ocean of life is seen to outweigh apparent dissimilarity. Diversity is swallowed up in unity. These are the words of a scientist. Diversity is an appearance. Unity is the truth. Now Sri Aurobindo comments, diversity is swallowed up in unity. It might have been a phrase from some free rendering of an ancient Upanishad. But how much precisely are we justified in deducing from these results produced by the severest tests of physical research accepted by the scientific opinion of Europe and considered by thinkers of distinction to be of great importance for the development of the science of psychology, for the future development. Dr. Bose, then a young and unknown scientist, set out to prove the existence of nervous life in metals and plants by showing that they return precisely the same responses to the same stimuli as human beings. Can we go further and say that they are also to a certain extent observations in plant psychology, or that Dr. Bose has gone beyond his original thesis and established between man and the plant a unity of the incipient mind? So already they have foreseen there is a continuity, there is a unity, there is a oneness. Only thing is, we are rediscovering it. And then Sri Aurobindo concludes, in any case, a great step has been made towards the unification of knowledge. So this is what mother meant when she spoke about, when someone asked her about the center of education, how to teach the students spiritual life. So mother says, oh, once again the same old distinction between spiritual life and material life. There is only one life. So we create division by the mind. It is not that, she says, something to this effect, it is not that you have to teach science and spirituality, separate classes. You have to teach science from a spiritual perspective. You have to teach art from a spiritual perspective. You have to teach music from a spiritual perspective. The same thing, even A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4, from a spiritual perspective, even numbers have a spiritual connotation. Hasn't the mother given for the, I think, 1 to 14 numbers, each number carrying a significance? How beautiful, from a spiritual perspective, everything. So that is the unification of knowledge. A bridge has been built between man and inert matter. Even if we take Dr. Bose's experiments with metals in conjunction with his experiments in plants, one may hold it to be practically proved to the thinker that life in various degrees of manifestation and organization is omnipresent in matter and is no foreign introduction or accidental development, but was always there to be evolved. So this is where we come back to what Sri Aurobindo has always been saying. Evolution happens because there is involution. And that is why there is hope. Matter contains within it spirit and supermind. Therefore, matter is destined to be divinized. There is no other choice. Because matter contains spirit, it will evolve a spiritual life on material basis. It is regardless of what human beings do or don't do, we believe or don't believe, it is a fact. Fact is that matter contains the divine, and therefore matter will one day be divinized. Whether man will be the catalyst or dolphins, or some other species, that is not relevant. But matter will be divinized. But we can have the joy and the privilege of participating. The ancient thinkers knew well that life and mind exist everywhere in a sense and vary only by the degree and manner of their emergence and functionings. That is why we can pray to the rain. how beautifully mother says, when rain would not come, she would pray, when students will go. In fact, once she says very interestingly, on one of the 2nd December program, because she had done that once, so now, you know, every time there are clouds, easy way out. So they are telling the mother, you please stop the rain. So mother tells them, see, gods don't like it. I can't keep interfering. I can't keep telling. That's why, you know, the principle of freedom. Mother would not interfere just like that. See, just because I can do it. And when she tells the gods, they told her, you are not going out. Why you want us to stop our functioning? All this is there in the agenda. So the mother tells the gods, see, I am not going out, but these fellows are, you know, requesting me. They think that I am there, and I am there in a subtle way. She tries to, you know, plead our case. So the gods say, okay, we understand that, but why not give them a little test? So mother says, okay, fine, that is allowed. Mother doesn't test, but the gods. So they have a play. So that time, on 2nd December, it rained. So mother says, I was watching everything. At the end, they all did it. And I was so happy that they have passed the test. And mother tells the gods, you saw my children have passed the test? You want to test them? They all had faith, joy, enthusiasm. I think last 2nd December also we had the same thing. We prayed, but it rained. But everybody, I'm sure, experienced a great joy. Why? Because somewhere mother was telling us, good, well done my children. After 50 years, another test, and you have passed the test. So, it's like everything is conscious. Matter is conscious, clouds are conscious, rivers are conscious. So we pray to the river. Lump of clay is conscious, so we can carve an image of Shiva out of mud or Shaligram and pray it as Lord Narayana. How beautiful it is. Food is conscious, everything is conscious. And so again I add, medicines are conscious and we can give it consciously. And plants and flowers are so receptive. There is a whole branch of Ayurveda called Pushpa Ayurveda. We know Bach's flower remedy, but we don't know Pushpa Ayurveda. Pushpa Ayurveda is basically treating through flowers. And they was thinking, Pondicherry has many uniquenesses, ashram. One of the uniquenesses that everywhere we go for blessing, you know, they will give something or the other. They don't know what to give. Some book they will give, or they will give some prasad, halwa or something. Here for blessings we receive flower packets. Very interesting. Why? Because they can be charged, and mother has said that. They are very receptive. So by the mere fact of keeping them in Shurbindu's room, they get charged. By the mere fact of something, even we can invoke that charge. Mother has told this to Dr. Bisht. She asked him, do you believe, when she gives him a blessing packet? She asked him, do you believe in it? He was a hardcore scientist. He says, frankly speaking, no, mother. So mother laughed and said, you know, I also don't believe in it. See, you know, please. He says, but you know, it is faith that works miracles. Take it with faith. Now, you know, she was revealing a great truth. The power to activate it, to charge it. So it's not enough just we keep it, but we have the faith that as long as it is there, I am protected. That is the great thing which charge is there and it activates it. So Sri Aurobindo reveals to us this truth. It is only appropriate that for a descendant of the race of ancient thinkers who formulated that knowledge should be reserved the privilege of initiating one of the most important among the many discoveries which experimental science is confirming, the wisdom of his forefathers. So he says, I am happy that this discovery has been made by Sir J.C. Bose, because in this land, spiritually we had discovered it. Now through experimental science, he had discovered it. And that is how science must proceed. Before we close, as I was keeping it, I saw this latest on cardiology review. So I said, look, that science and this science. But suddenly, I casually, randomly opened a page and I said, no, even modern science is trying to do something interesting. So I'll just read out a little item, news. And this is a news from the latest journal, what is happening in cardiology all over the world. So we are rushing for stents, rushing for bypass and all these things. Whereas we have a remedy right next to us. So this is benefits of yoga in patients with atrial fibrillation. It's being proved. So they are proving it that yoga was associated with reductions in the mean number of symptomatic episodes, etc., etc., etc. Yoga was also associated with improvements in quality of life and reduction in anxiety and depression. Notably, the changes in anxiety and depression did not correlate with the changes in the symptomatic and non-symptomatic. In their study report, the investigators comment that the benefits from the emotionally supportive atmosphere of yoga training centers and the positive impact by the caring relationships change and lifestyle modifications associated with yoga practices bring a profound impact on physiological parameters, and this cannot be underestimated. So, well, if just what they call yoga, which is nothing but a set of exercises, can do the change, what would real yoga, what Sri Aurobindo has revealed, yoga means a progressive union with the divine, can create. There is no limits to our discovery. We'll stop here. Continue next week. So I think I'm sure we are all doing it. Every time we take a tulsi leaf from samadhi, we take it as multivitamin pill, super multivitamin pill. Only thing is, it's given without prescription. No time bar that if 5 o'clock dispensary is closed. No. It is available all through. And only we should take it gently, not 10, 12, crush it and take it beautifully, gently. Mother, your prescription, super pill.